Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carl from ISF and Film and Stuff, welcoming you to our podcast. And today we are very, very pleased, Rachel and I. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Yes, she's back, by the way. Nice to have you back, Rachel. And we have one of our favorite people in the whole world with us today, director and total madman, Joe Badon. Joe, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Hello, Rachel. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, nurse.
I mean, I think we should all say that now. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
That's right. It is me making a grand return to, well, I'd like to think of it as Film and Stuff, but also the ISF cast. Here we are. And I am just beyond super stoked that we have this crazy, crazy fucking man tore him away from his Babylon 5 rewatch marathon to come talk to us today.
Yes.
It's a great show, by the way. First thing I have to ask you is, did you do anything special for Mardi Gras since you're down in New Orleans or North?
No. I work at a lot of the parades selling my artwork. And so by the time it's like Monday Book Gras and Mardi Gras, I'm just want to be out of the city completely. Because I've just been like fighting traffic, working, and just like, no, I don't want to be around New Orleans on those days. Those days are nuts. But
you're
I've done some
native,
stuff.
You're a fucking native, aren't you?
What?
I said you're a fucking native, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, exactly. I'm not, I definitely like, New Orleans, I love New Orleans, but yeah, I've lived here my whole life, so Mardi Gras is, most of the time, it's just more of an inconvenience than anything.
Well, it's like terrible. Being in New York City and you don't want to go anywhere near Times Square during New Year's. Yeah, there's no way going there. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, the smaller parades are really fun. Like Chewbacca, of course, is my favorite, and that's all like Star Wars and Star Trek and all different sci-fi, Babylon 5, of course, and all those other ones. So, what were we talking about? Babylon 5? No, Battlestar Galactic. Never mind.
That's what they watched. Okay, never mind. I have a Cajun mom. Now, I have not spent time in Louisiana except, here and there. And one year with this group that we were with, we do a medieval recreation thing. We were going to an event that was in Louisiana, and so we decided to go a couple days early and actually like enjoy the sights, go to the aquarium and all that stuff. I was 12 at this point, so many years ago, before all the big hurricanes, of course. And it happened to be during the time of Mardi Gras. And so we were downtown, we were at the very far end of the French Quarter and, doing the touristy shit. And my mom's like, yeah, whatever. But my dad and I were just like, this is so cool. And we're in this deli. And as we walk out of this little Italian deli, this guy's trying to sell these fake marriage licenses. And then he looks down at his watch. And it was like maybe 3:30.
Uh-huh.
And he dropped the accent, was like, okay, never mind, done. Threw his suitcase together and started booking it down the street. And my mom was like, wait, what? What time is it? And we look behind us and the guys start flipping the portholes open.
Uh-huh.
And then they start putting the poles down in them.
Right.
Because it's about to be Mardi Gras. They're putting up the fencing for Mardi Gras.
Funny.
Mom was like, oh, shit, it's 3:30. Like, starts running.
Funny.
Like, grabs my dad and I hand in hand and starts running down the street. And people are, you know, hawking
yeah.
stuff at us. And she's like, go away.
Yeah.
I'm a native. And we're running
right.
because we're parked at the very far end. Very
yeah.
far in, past the aquarium and everything. And,
yeah.
I mean, booking it, assholes to elbows,
you
all the
totally
way down
be,
the street.
You would totally be stuck. You would totally be stuck for hours and hours.
No, you would be stuck overnight. We got to the parking
yeah.
center as they were throwing up the spikes, and my mom had me stand on top of where they would put the parking spikes up so that they wouldn't put them up so that we could get out of the structure and leave downtown.
That
and
is
that
wild.
Is my-
yeah, because it is. It's like lockdown. It's wild.
It is. And we were just
yeah.
like just ahead, like footsteps ahead of the guys as they were flipping up the portholes in the street because, you know, they're decorative and they're pretty. And I was like, oh, my God, Mom, these are cool. What are these things for? And she's like, you'll see. And they start flipping them up. There's, like, one guy that goes around, like, crouching like a crab, flipping the portholes up. Another guy goes by
yep.
and starts putting down the you know, poles. And then there's another guy that comes and starts lacing the fencing. And then there's another guy that comes up and puts the concertina wire up top. It's and you literally get locked in downtown.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
also when the parking rates skyrocket. They go to, like, $25 an hour. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is my
one
experience.
I the other day because of a... Because of just being in the middle of Mardi Gras and just, like, had to pay $110 just to, like, get my car unbooted. It's just so stupid. So
I
stupid.
I really
so,
think
anyway.
It's stupid.
You are the
hey,
only
hey,
person
hey,
in the world that could make a movie about that and really
oh, sure.
create the madness of it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got the perfect title, Escaping Mardi Gras.
Right. It'd be like an escape from New York sort of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, everything basically busy like a bee, and you've got, of course, we've had you on before, and we love Sister Tempest, and you have some news about that. You now, that's now available for sale on your website and everything.
Yeah, so on our very cheesy blogspot for our movie, if you go to sistertempest.blogspot.com, they have links to go to Dark Side Releasing's website to buy the Blu-ray or the Vimeo site to rent it on Vimeo. That's where it is available right now. In May, it will be even more widely available. Where you can buy it on Amazon. I mean, you can actually pre-order it on Amazon on Blu-ray, but it won't be actually shipped till May. But if you'd like to get it now, you can buy it off of Dark Side Releasing's website, which is darksidereleasing.com, or off the Vimeo page, you can rent it. But like I said, you just look up Sister Tempest. Look up sistertempest.blogspot.com or Sister Tempest on any sort of social media, and you'll be able to find it. So anyway,
yeah,
that's just
and
a, that was just to get the get that stuff out of the way. Sorry.
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing I do want to say to everyone listening, and you know what I think of your film. You were number two
yeah.
film of last year on my top 10.
Oh,
I freaking love this thing. It is one of the most out there films ever. And I tell you, you can use this at no cost. I call you the micro budget Jodorowsky. That's what you are to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm really
well,
not kidding about
you,
that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all I was going to say is I'm not kidding about that either, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say with a new projects going forward are hopefully going to be even more interesting. I know Wheels have them, you know, we finished shooting and we're in the middle of editing right now, and it's just got has so many more layers, I think, than what I've done in the past, and it's just more experimental. So I'm just excited about, you know, all the projects moving forward. I'm very happy with Sister Tempest and God Inside My Ear, but it's cool to be able to see that we're growing like a production studio, essentially, you know, out of that, to where we can, you know, we are all working together over multiple projects, so we're all getting used to each other like a band would. And so so it's like I'm able to continually challenge my editor, my cinematographer, my actors, my composers. I'm able to challenge them even more for each project going forward. Like, let's make this more complicated. You see how far we can make things insane until we break it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, now let's talk a little bit about Blood of Dinosaurs. I was very fortunate to see that. You handed me the link from Vimeo. And what is going on with that? Now that that's done, is it in the festival circuit? What's going on with the Blood of Dinosaurs?
Yeah, it's actually, so far, it's won Best Short Film at the Sin City Horror Film Festival. And it's about to play at the Boston Underground Film Festival sometime later this month, and just in the next few weeks, actually, which is a pretty big deal. The Boston Underground Film Festival is a fairly big festival, so we're excited about that. So yeah, it's touring festivals right now, and like I said, we're in the midst of editing with Wheel of Heaven. So
okay,
so, yeah,
so with the
stuff.
Oh, absolutely. With the Blood of Dinosaurs, I had a question for you. So
yeah,
for those who have not seen it, it starts out with this host of this children's show who's,
right,
shall I say, just slightly demented. Would you agree with that,
sure,
Joe?
Absolutely.
Just a little bit.
He's definitely had issues.
So my question is, whenever I saw that, took me a day or so, and then I rewatched it, and I connected it to a film that I saw in the 70s, which is The Groove Tube. And Groove Tube was a takeoff on television, and they had a section of a children's
about.
Show host, you know, basically reading Fanny Hill to his audience. And I just wondered if there was any connection to you artistically, if you had known that, or you didn't even think about that, or whatever the case would be, because I saw the connection.
I think it all comes from the same source, which is like that, you know, the Groove Tube, which was like, came out like with Kentucky Fried Film and all those anthology movies, you know, all those kind of anthology films,
right,
which is a lot of where a lot of my ideas come from, are those kind of anthology parody films. And one that really was influenced too was UHF, which is another anthology parody film. And I think that's probably where there was a lot of UHF influence there with that little children's show that is in that movie.
Yes, I can see that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
But I will say, I'm not sure that Weird Al would approve of your show. I'm just saying.
He likes the off television.
But the one thing that really hits me about what you do is that I take a look at your films, and not only do I connect them with you, that's definitely a Joe Baton film, but there's nothing
right.
else like it. Where does that come from, Joe? I mean, seriously, we've talked about this a little bit, because you have so many influences and so many things that you throw in. And I'm not just talking ideas here. I'm talking, you know, your visuals with your miniatures, all this. And it becomes this sort of like a gumbo of ideas that are just seemingly randomly put out, but they're not random. And I realize that.
Right.
So how does that come about?
I think that just it came from when I was in high school, and I was doing mainly music at the time. But, you know, high school seems to be like the most formative years of like figuring out like what you interpret art to be. And so I was doing a lot of music at the time, and one composer that I was really into was John Zorn. And that kind of formed my worldview a lot, which was this idea that you took influences from all the genres and all subgenres and all those things, and then you do everything, you do it all, and you just kind of hop around and you throw it all in the pot, all the seasonings, you know, all together. And I find it way more interesting than just a one or two tone movie, you know. It's just like going on a funhouse ride, you know. It's not all the same scares. Some scares are jump scares. Some are creepy. Some are funny, and it's just, and then you have a little bit of a roller coaster, and it's just like having fun. That's what I want to go. I want to go to a movie and have a ride, and not just like feel like. And just being spoon-fed one ingredient, you know? So, that's it.
Right. Interesting you bring up John Zorn. You know, I'm trained in classical music, and when I was young, I found the best way to piss off my parents was to listen to 20th century classical. But for me... For me, my influence wasn't Zorn so much as it was Frank Zappa, but it's the same idea.
Yeah, totally. The same idea, completely. Completely same idea. And also, one thing that Zorn and Zappa do is that they embrace all qualities of music and all genres of music. So, like Zappa really pushed heavy for the shag to be known. And if, you know, the Shags are terrible musicians, but they're also genius in how bad they are. And and Zorn, I'm sorry.
I said like Wild Man Fisher too.
What is that?
Who Zappa found on the streets of L.A. Doing these poems, and he brought him in, and he did a whole album with him on Evening with Wild Man Fisher. But yes, you're actually right on that.
I've never heard that before. That sounds amazing.
Oh, you've got, I'll get you some stuff. I'll send you some stuff after that of Wild Man Fisher. Oh, you got to hear Wild Man Fisher. Without a doubt.
Well, that's like Moondog. He was discovered by some famous singer. I don't know if you know who Moondog is. I'm sure you do, right? Have you ever heard of that?
I do. I'm not that familiar, but I do know the name, and I've heard a couple things.
Yeah, so he's like a composer who was literally like a crazy old man on the street who some singer like just discovered was playing music on the street. And it's just like that's what I'm talking about. Like punk rock and you know, pop music and children's music and garage bands and just any form of self-expression like is just as worthy as another. And that's what I'm trying to do, I think, more and more with what I'm doing with myself. So like I'm trying to find actors that are really good actors, and I'm trying to find actors that have never acted before, and the theatrical actors and just people off the street, and then use different types of cameras, and you know what I'm saying? Like really trying to be as diverse as possible. Just look, there's a million different ingredients that we can use. And most of the time, filmmakers are only using just a couple because they feel like they're scared to use other ones because they might be a little more bitter or just off-putting. But those off-puttings are what makes things interesting, you know? So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm babbling.
No, 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 you're allowed to babble. That's why you're here. We like you when you babble. So tell
anyway.
Us a little bit about what you're doing now with the Wheel of Heaven.
Yeah.
And
so Blood of the Dinosaurs and Wheel of Heaven are kind of like part one and part two, kind of. So Blood of the Dinosaurs is like a prologue, and then Wheel of Heaven is the rest of it. And that's broken up into three chapters. So what we're going to do is release Wheel of Heaven as a short film, do the film festivals. I should probably, for people who don't know what the movie's about, I should tell them. Wheel of Heaven is a short film that we did through Kickstarter. We funded through Kickstarter, starring Callie Russell. She was also in Sister Tempest. And it's basically Callie Russell and Jeff Pearson, who Jeff Pearson had just started working with this film, and a fucking incredible actor. Plenty of amazing actors, actually, that were a part of this. But it follows those two actors, mainly Callie and Jeff. And basically about this woman who's reading a two-journey adventure novel called The Wheel of Heaven. And she's making all these decisions for this fictitious character inside this book. But because she's reading it, she's putting herself inside the story. So you're watching the story happen as she's reading the story and making decisions for herself through this story. And then at the same time, we also are watching a TV show about a Star Trek kind of character, like Captain, who is this also the same actress, Callie Russell, who is traversing space to find the center of the universe. And while she's traversing space, she's being followed by Dr. Universe, who is played by Jeff Pearson, who also plays all the other, like, bad guy roles in all the other universes that we see. So there's a lot of shit to unpack with what I'm saying. There's a whole lot more story that I haven't even told, and we do it all in about 30 minutes that we're editing it down to. So it's going to be a fucking wild ride. There is moments that are like big, Beyond the Valley of the Doll moments. There's moments that are super old school Star Trek sci-fi moments. There's big Dada esque montages, and there's lots of psychedelic moments. There's moments that are like old school Twilight Zone, black and white noir. So we run the gamut all over the place with genres and styles to tell a singular narrative about this woman making decisions for a fictional character in a book. So there you go.
Your audience may need some neck braces because of the whiplash.
Yes, exactly. I'm really trying to jam in as much insanity as I can and still tell a narrative that someone will care about. So it's an experiment that we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, from everything that I've seen of you, and I've seen everything you've directed except in one you're working on now, that's what you do, you know. And I see with each successive work that I don't want to say it becomes better, but it becomes perhaps tighter and more organized.
Yes.
You know, it's...
Yes, I think we're just getting more mature.
I'm not sure if I would agree with that, Joe.
Wow. Okay.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart in the best sense. You know that.
Yes, thank you. That's great. Oh, man.
This is why you're one of our favorite people on the podcast. Seriously.
definitely honing our style, and that's what I'm excited about. We're also working on a couple short films. We're doing a music video and a local commercial that we're working on right now that we'll be also putting to film festivals pretty soon. So we have a lot of crap going on. There's, of course, the musical that I'm also in pre-production on. I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, we got a musical going on and some other shit. So there's a lot of stuff cooking, and I'm very excited because Wheel of Heaven is just going to kick off a bunch of other projects that will be happening in the next couple of years, you know. So.
Well, I'm certainly primed for whatever you do, but you got to tell me a little more about the musical. I was telling you before the show that I just watched a bit of New West Side Story, and Spielberg and Tony Kushner basically took the first half hour to cram down our throats how bad gentrification is without one song. So I'm hoping, you know, your musical starts out with, you know, maybe four new guys in Gold LeBay, you know, doing a song or something. I don't know.
It is a nun play. So, or I should say maybe nun exploitation.
I freaking love you. A nun exploitation musical? Oh, God. God bless you. Seriously.
What I'm trying to go for is...
You're the
like,
fucking
the
serial killer for Carl because, like, yeah...
Well, imagine like the devil who's Rocky Horror. That's kind of what I'm going for.
Oh my God, I love you too, Carl. You and I are dying together if they put this movie on.
No, it's a play.
We'll do it as a play first. Well, we'll do it as a play first, and then hopefully convert it to a film after. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. But I can't give it away any more than that. That is plenty.
No, that's plenty. I'm already like in heaven just trying to imagine, you know. I mean, I remember seeing Nonsense off Broadway.
Right.
And that was cute. This is not going to be cute. This is going to be off the fucking wall.
Yes. That's it, crazy. Yes. So.
Oh, Joe, you are my hero.
Well, that's if we can get funding. So that's the whole thing. We're working on six packages, and we're doing rough scripts right now, and hopefully we can get some money, because definitely doing Kickstarters all the time is not the way to go, especially when you want to do bigger projects. So, and it, you know, it's just exhausting for everybody, and I don't want to tax my fans all the time, you know, in that way. So, hopefully we can find some real investors, you know. That's the plan.
Well, I certainly not only wish you luck, but seriously, if you need a C.D. Monsignor or something for your musical, let me know, because I'd be interested.
Hell yes. Awesome. Sounds great.
You know, one of the things I do want to say, you know, I see a lot of films, and there's so much out there now with streaming and so on and so forth. And most of it is just like, it's run of the mill. You know, you've seen it before, and even if it's really, really good, you know, I mean, it's taken from other things you've seen, and you're sort of like used to it. But to be honest, I watch your films, and there's no way to get used to them, and I mean that in the best sense, because they're incredibly fresh.
Thank you.
I mean, we go back to Tempest, and go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's funny, though, too, how many people do like to criticize that you know, they're like, oh, it's like this movie or it's like that movie, because I do wear my inspirations on my sleeves, kind of like Quentin Tarantino does. And people really hate Quentin Tarantino for that, because it seems like he's ripping other people off. And I understand if people think that way, but I feel like he's literally just like saying, these things are really fucking cool. Let me make a cool mixtape out of all these cool things that I liked when I was a kid. And that feels like that's what I'm trying to do, you know, like, ooh, these are all these cool things that I love, and I'd like to do something similar, but basically like a mixtape, you know, like John Zorn would do, which is you're not, like people will be like, oh, I got a new song out, and it's like hip-hop meets country, and it's just somebody rapping over a country song. But then, like, say to do it a different way would be to do a hip-hop song for 10 seconds and then go to a country song for 10 seconds instead of trying to, like, create some sort of terrible fusion that is, like, worse than the other two separate, you know? Just have those things coexist next to each other instead of on top of each other. They don't have to have sex. And so it's the same sort of idea. It's like, I feel like what I'm trying to do to create something fresh is to just basically create mixtapes of all the things that I loved. And that's what I'm trying to do, basically.
The way I might put it is that you're a cook in a kitchen, but it's a cinematic kitchen.
Right.
So you have a lot of different ingredients you want to use to bring to fruition something that nobody has seen or tasted before.
Yeah. And I will watch a bad film just because it looks and feels and sounds like something I've never heard or seen before than a good film that I've seen a million times. Like, I'd rather just watch somebody's terrible art than art that just looks like everything else, you know?
Well, you know, the thing I say about bad movies, okay, you know, that, you know, they have this thing where, you know, it's so good it's bad, right? Or so bad it's good.
Right.
To me, what it is passion. And whether that passion be displaced or not displaced, if there is passion there, it comes through. It absolutely 100%. Comes through.
100%. And that is what... Yep. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say anything, so go right ahead.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were going to say... No, but that's what I totally agree. Like, I will... It's like it could be a million... billion-dollar movie, or it could be a no-money movie. If it's passion, and you can feel it. It's invisible, but you can feel it. Like that new Paul Thomas Anderson movie is fucking incredible. You can tell it is like all
which
fucking...
Which I have not gotten a chance to see yet. But yes, I do want to see
Licorice Pizza. It is just all balls, man. You can tell they don't give a fuck. They are playing with rich people's money and doing whatever the fuck they want, but they're making art, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, let artists be artists, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You were talking about Paul Thomas Anderson right before the show. I saw a small documentary, about 15 minutes, on YouTube on Robert Altman. And, of course, Altman was very much an influence on Paul Thomas Anderson. In fact, they worked together on Altman's last film, A Prairie Home Companion. And that's exactly what Altman said. He said, you know, just let me play. You know, give me the money and let me play.
Yeah.
And I may not give you, you know, exactly what you expect, but I'm going to give you something very unique. and it's yeah. it's mine, and it has my print all over it, and people will respond to that.
Yeah,
you know, totally. I mean, with your films, I don't see, you know, blockbusters, but I see a bunch of crazy ass motherfuckers going to those films, say, "I love yeah. him, I am part of him, he is my Sherpa.
Well,
I am your lemming," you know, whatever.
If a movie like Annette can be made by Amazon, then I know that I can get money to make a bigger film. I don't care about a blockbuster. I don't know why. It's funny too. A lot of filmmaker friends, they're just concerned about that kind of blockbuster mentality too. And it's like, wait, there you can still get a lot of money for auteur films like Paul Thomas Anderson, David Lynch. Like there's, and it's not even just those people. Like there's the, what's that movie that just came out about the woman who gives birth to a car, has sex with a car or some shit? It just won like
the chain.
Yeah, I mean, yes. And that movie had a budget. Obviously, it looked good. They didn't shoot it for $10,000 like I would, you know? Like, so I'm like, if somebody gives me $1 million, I'll literally, like, die. I'll just like, yes, thank you, I'm dead now. You know, so, like, it doesn't have to be a lot, you know? I can do a lot with a little.
I can see you doing something for $250,000 to $500,000.
Yes.
And coming up with
yes.
something absolutely and, for the awesome.
Yeah, and I could make those movies for the rest of my life. If someone listening will be like, yes, I know where that money comes from. It's some weird hole in the ground where gold comes out, and I'm not sure where that comes from. But someone knows the GPS coordinates. This is not me. You know?
Well, hopefully you'll find the GPS and find the leprechaun pot. Seriously.
Thank you. Until then, I'm going to be doing my micro-budget musicals. I have that the Nun musical is hopefully going to be made. We just need money. And then I do have another lower-budget musical that is, if anyone listening would like to contribute just a smaller portion for something, then we do have a smaller menu size for the dollar menu price of another musical for something that's just cheaper. So we have some different like projects moving forward at all different like budget, you know, scales. Like of course I have an action film we've talked about before. I've talked to you about this, right? The holiday action film that I cannot.
No, you have not talked to me.
If not, I swear I've talked to you about this. So I can't give you much about this as well until I think I get the go ahead. But there's another thing we're seeking funding for a feature film that's basically like a Hallmark holiday film meets a psychedelic kung fu film. So that's another thing. That's another thing on the books. I have a lot of shit on the books right now, but right now I'm focused on Wheel of Heaven. I'm like getting that shit done so I can give it out to all the backers and then be like, do we know bigger investors?
Can I just say, Be Still My Beating Heart, you have a holiday action film and a musical coming out, you know. Sorry to all
yes.
you dudes out there, but Joe, are you involved right now? Like, this is like the man of my dreams. You are the director of my dreams right now.
I am married. Thank you. Jeez.
Tell your wife she's very lucky. Or your boyfriend, husband, whichever, you know.
I don't know what gender she thinks he is this week, but. Thank you.
We'll tell your partner they have a sort of awesome person. You can bring
Thank
that
you.
Up in an argument
and
later. Tell him I said so.
By the way, Rachel, you may not know this, but Joe Badon is a spitting image of Austin Powers. Seriously.
I am. It's really terrible. Except I got better teeth. I do have better teeth.
Oh, my God. Stop it, guys. Stop it. This is too much for me.
It is always a blast to have you on, Joe. We got to do this, like, once a month just for the hell of it. Seriously.
It is a lot of fun. Thank you.
One thing.
Anytime you want to come back on, just let me know.
Well, I tell you what, we did a commentary watch a while back on Jikaku, which has been over a year.
Yes.
So we need to do another commentary watch, you and I. Seriously. So think about that.
All right. Sounds good.
But the one thing I wanted to bring up.
Pick?
Yes, abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, fun. All right, cool. Anyway, what are you going to say?
Yeah, just let me know. We'll put it up. And if you got any female action films you want to do, it is Women's Month. So yeah, we could do that easily. So the one thing I did want to bring up, you mentioned to me you've got a commercial coming up, for production.
Yes.
And you know who you remind me of a little bit, and in terms of production, is George Romero. Because if you remember, Romero had Late in Image, where he did all these commercials. And I grew up in Pittsburgh. So I remember these commercials. I remember the Kennywood commercial. I remember the Cal God commercial to take off on
super fun.
On Fantastic Voyage and such. And I was just wondering.
Oh, I got to check those out.
I'll get you some links.
Cool.
Okay, I got to get you Wildman Fisher, and I'll get you those. But so what I want to ask you is very simple. Who the hell would hire you for a director of a commercial? And what the fuck do you have in mind?
Well, we're still ironing out the numbers, but we're looking at doing a commercial for an oddity store that's local to New Orleans, which is perfect for what we're doing. And then we are working with a band called Vivian on a music video coming up. And if you check them out, they have like a real cool, like Portishead kind of vibe, which works very well with what I'm doing. So it's just cool. Like I'm meeting local business people and musicians and artists that have very similar like vibes and, you know, understand what I'm doing and want to hire me to do something cool for them, which is really fun.
You know something, you know, we take a look at a lot of you guys who are micro budget and you attach yourself to certain areas and it's very, very common about regional filming, and I'm wondering how New Orleans is with that in terms of local production. Now you have basically gotten a lot of your people from the area, and you know, to grow that and to really like cement yourself within the New Orleans community would be, I think, your next step. You know, I mean, take a look at it. Morgan did his own film back in the 60s, right?
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I've been connecting up with a lot more local filmmakers lately. There's a local, like, filmmaker club that I'm going to now, and I'm trying to, like, immerse myself in the local artist and filmmaker community, because something that I've only really starting to do more and more over the last few years, because, you know, I was a comic book artist, so I worked from home, and I did not, and I lived like in half an hour outside the city, so I just was doing my own thing, and then I started selling my artwork in New Orleans, so I slowly have been integrating myself into the New Orleans art scene over the last like 8 or 7 or 8 years. but it's been a very slow process, and it's only been the last couple of years that I'm starting to, like, people are starting to go, oh, this is a, there's a filmmaker here. Like, oh, that's, I'm scared, there's a filmmaker here. So, like, that's what's happening. All of a sudden people are starting to notice me, I think, you know. And that's cool. I don't really, I like, the only reason I care is just so I'd like to make a living doing this, you know. But, like, you know, like, as far as accolades and those things are only nice just so I know that I feel like I'm going in the right direction, you know. Like, okay, people are recognizing these things. I can, like, I can do this and like, feed my family. That's cool. This is amazing, you know. That's like the American dream, to do what you love and be able to take care of your family, you know? And that's right. What I'm trying to do with this, you know? So.
Well, you know, I certainly, and we here at Deviant Legion, certainly wish you the best, and whatever we can do to help, all you have to do is
absolutely.
Ask.
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Hell yeah.
You know?
You know, no, it's just funny because, like, it's just an interesting thing, like launching off as, like, an artist. You know what I mean? Like, most – it's not a conventional career. And then to launch off as one that's, like, kind of doing a middle finger to conventional art, you know, in with film at least, you know, is mm-hmm. like, not fun.
Well, who knows? You could turn out to be Andy Warhol. Who knows? You could.
Yeah, you never know. Exactly. You never know.
You never know.
Big chances. Yeah, big chances are big rewards, you know, sort of thing. So
one of the things I do want to just touch on before we end up here is a lot of people will ask, how did you get started? Now, I happen to know you started as a storyboard artist. And so give us a little bit of background on your education in that sense and how that got started and how all this little tiny pebble came down the mountain and now you're a snowball in New Orleans.
I'll try to give it to you in, like, the fast breakneck version. In high school, I really wanted to be a filmmaker and went to college for film for one semester and hated it because you have to do all the prerequisites. It's dumb as shit. It's not like, you know, like there's like, what, two good film schools in the world? Like, it's not like, it's stupid. So even in New Orleans, you just have to go to UNO. So it was at the time, at least. And so, yeah, go to UNO. This sucks. I don't want to just do a bunch of garbage prerequisites for years. So, you know, it was like, no, I don't want to do this. And pursued, like, music for a while, doing, like, experimental jazz and jazz punk kind of stuff. Jazz makes it sound like I was a good musician. I wasn't. But, you know, I've always wanted to do film. But, you know, like, any sort of self-expression was, like, was good, though, you know. And so went from that to then, like, burning all my CDs, all my books, and joining, like, a very conservative Christian evangelical church and becoming a pastor for about 12 years, mainly as a youth pastor, then going to associate pastor, and then becoming disillusioned and realizing, you know, so much of the stuff was just unhealthy, and getting out of that and realizing I just didn't want to go and work at another just garbage job. I just had enough shitty jobs in my life, you know. So I've done art my whole life. So I drew a portfolio, put it online, started doing private commissions, and that went to commercial commissions, which eventually led to comics and storyboards for films. Through a lot of hustle for a lot of years, And then I started kind of growing like a career as a storyboard artist, and then Hollywood just picked up and left New Orleans because they changed the laws for the tax laws. So then I started, like, had to restart everything again. So I started selling artwork at different comic book conventions, and finally landed in Frenchman Street Art Market in New Orleans, and that was just such a godsend. And we started doing well, and from there, I was, for the first time in my life, was able to save money, and I took savings and made God Inside My Ear, and then went from there. Just decided, you know, I'm going to use this, my success as an artist, to then start working on films. And so then, you know, now we're here, 2 feature films and 2 short films later. There you go.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, you know, first off, it's the patience to go through what you need to go through to get where you are. But it's also, you know, with God Inside My Ear, you basically did that on a very small budget, and you just did it, you know. And this is one of the things that I try to tell people at ISF and film and stuff, that you know, nowadays you've got a phone. You can do these things. And what's stopping
you? Well, you don't – yeah, there's not much stopping anyone. And also, like, you don't need to take a class. Like, you might the most you should do is just kind of, like, watch some YouTube videos, read some, like, refresher books that just kind of tell you the general language of filmmaking, just general language. Like storyboards and scripts and like just the basic mechanics. And then after that, just use your instincts. Everything else should be instinctual. Stories have been written on cave walls for billions of years. We don't need a book to tell us how to write a fucking story. Just use it. Use the DNA that you have and create what you have inside of you. All right, I'm done.
And I think that's really good, good suggestion. I mean, all of us are individuals, and God knows you are. I mean, just take a look at your films. And again, I mean that in the greatest sense, because as I've said this, you know, there's no one else like you that I've seen in film. And I've seen a lot of filmmakers, you know, and – of course, I connect with that because I'm kind of weird too.
yeah. And that's interesting, and like how many people I've connected. I want to just say real quick that I've connected spiritually, because obviously I have spiritual elements to my stuff, you know. It's just, that's really cool, you know. And I know with you the same, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about that on previous. I know the first time that I did the podcast with you on Sister Tempest, I mean, I immediately caught a lot of the religious influences and references and such. And I'm not sure if I'm the first one to really bring that out to you on the podcast.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I mean, that hit me right away.
Right. And it's part of mine too. I just don't want to be afraid or ashamed to talk about anything that's been in my past, you know, and anything that I'm wrestling with. And some people seem to be scared of the spiritual things. And I'm like, look, we've been wrestling with this shit for billions of years. What do you, like, now you're grown up, you don't want to wrestle with this shit anymore? Give me a break. Wrestle with this shit. Wrestle with this shit artistically. It's in your DNA too. You know, and if it's not, that's cool. I mean, there's people that definitely don't, like, you know, they don't feel the need for that, like, divine, like, wrestling, but I do.
Well, I've always liked my religious speedo, I'm just saying.
That's right. I hear you.
Oh, God. You get me with you, and it's like, oh, God, here it goes. Joe, it is an absolute pleasure, as always, to have you. Okay, so I'm going to get you,
thank you.
Some commercials. I'm going to get you Wild Man Fisher, and you're going to come back with me with a really, really strange movie that we can watch together. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Sounds great.
Okay. Okay, so right now we're going to do
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Stick around for a second. We're just going to do a quick, what we like to call housekeeping. And actually, we don't have too much coming up right now. We've got some things that will be on next week. I can tell you that, but nothing is set in stone yet. However, what I will tell you is on Saturday, we're going to be doing Down That Rabbit Hole with Rachel. And this will be our first of two, or maybe actually it'll be two episodes on women's music for Women's History Month. And we're going to be talking and listening to female protest singers and activists this coming Saturday. And that's at 8 o'clock. Then on Sunday, TC will be doing Rock This Town. He'll also be focusing on his favorite female singers. And so those are the two music shows we have. I can tell you this, that we do have shows coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week and probably Thursday. But we're not ready with those to announce yet because I haven't gotten them down completely, but we're working on that. We've got a number of other things planned for the month, and we're so glad that you come and listen to us on Deviant Legion Network and radio, internet radio. So, Joe, before you go, give us all the plugs and all the websites and everything that you got.
Yes. So SisterTempest.blogspot.com, that's like the easiest way to just find out what Sister Tempest is all about. If you go, that's my newest feature film, by the way. I should probably tell people that too. But if you go to Facebook or Instagram and look up my name, Joe Badon, B-A-D-O-N, not Joe Biden. And then Twitter, the same thing, Joe Badon, you can look that up there. Or if you just Google me, too, you can find out kind of what I'm about. I do have JoeBadon.com is my director page, which has, like, links to my trailers and crap like that. And then JoeBadon.blogspot.com is my art blog, and you can check out my illustrations. I think that's it. But I do want to say this, Carl. Like, really, you guys, Rachel, Carl, all you guys have been, like y'all spend a lot of time doing all this shit. And, like, a lot of people don't ever say thank you. And, like, this is a lot of work that y'all have to do for all this. And I really appreciate that. That's amazing. Thank you.
Well, you really just made me blush. I think I look purple now, but... But you know what? Just like you, this whole idea of the podcasting, I got into podcasting 8 years ago. My former partner, Stephen Ronquillo, we did a commentary on Blood Freak. I literally begged him to be on it 2 weeks later. He asked me to be his co-host. And from there, started Deviant Legion 3 years ago. And it is a lot of work. Four people who podcast with us. We have a couple people behind the scenes. And just like you, I'm trying to get a family together to really, really do something special. And that's what we're trying to do.
Amen.
And I really appreciate the confirmation from you. That's really nice of you, Joe. Thank you.
Well, I see all your hard work, and it's like a blessing to me. And it's like amazing that you're doing this. I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, we need to have you on every so often. It's been too long, my friend. Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
And I know you're busy, and I understand that completely. But you know what? This is like fun. This is where you
yes,
get to play in the sandbox a little bit. So you know what? You need
yes.
to do that every so often. Both you and I have to
Amen.
Remind ourselves of that.
Seriously. Amen. Absolutely.
So,
yep.
So, Joe, it's a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime. And for
Absolutely.
Those of you listening, I want to thank you very, very much. And we'll see
yep.
you. We'll see you this weekend, and we'll see you next week. Joe, again, my heartiest thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. See ya.
All right. Good night.